you kind of sounding like Oprah.
Oprah.
We have
Life with the Girlfriends.
Yes, Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie.
And I am Christine Marie.
I'm Julie.
And, you know, we're not just girlfriends.
No, we're not. We're mother and daughter.
That's right.
So we're not like girlfriends with a wink. Like, hey, how's I'm your girlfriend.
Yeah, that's right. We're just. But you can tell us apart by I have older looking hands.
Oh, not in the winter time. My hands can get pretty. I have a more of an active life out in the world, in the sense of I get, you know, I'm the one that gets my hands dirty a lot.
Yes, you do.
And so. Yeah. My hands have a tendency to get tapped in the wintertime.
Oh, so that's nice. So you're saying that I actually, if people just looked at our hands, they couldn't see our faces or anything, they would say that I was the young one.
I would say money. I'd put money on it that it would be at least tie, that my 20-year younger hands would not look 20 years younger than your hands. You have pretty hands.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh. That's so sweet of you.
Oh, well, you're welcome. I'm not, I mean, listen.
You're not just blowing smoke up my head.
I really am not.
Oh, great.
I've had to deal with a pretty mom my whole life. I'm okay with that. You know, when someone asks us now, and they just see a picture of us on the website, they're like, well, which one's the mom, which one's the daughter?
I know.
And I first think, oh, you're joking. And they're like, no, really, which one's the mom, which one's the daughter? And I want to say, F you. Thank you very much.
F you. F you very, very much.
That's what I want to say. But I don't.
No, you're so kind to me, really. Just people don't even realize, just like 10 minutes before the show, you know, you're like, Mama, you've got such dry skin because it's like we got 18 inches of snow. It's like 20 below. And your skin's, let me put some almond oil on your legs.
I'm so kind.
You are kind. I'm like, are you sure, Julie?
And the evil plan is, at the same time, I'm getting my hands totally moisturized.
Now I see your evil plan.
It's like two birds with one stone.
That's
but
right.
The truth is, I never want to hurt two birds.
No.
And nor with a stone, you know?
No, you don't want to kill any birds.
I don't. So, you know, what am I going to say about that?
You're a pacifist.
Very much so, I guess.
Maybe we could trap two birds with one stone.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
We've got a dog kind of having a hard time.
Is Elliot having a hard time?
He's just scratching that in his cage a little bit.
Oh, no.
He'll be fine.
Our little puppy, Elliot, who we adored before he was even born, before he was even in the womb, we adored him and we knew his name, so we had these visions of him. And he's a puppy now, and the vet says he's exhibiting puppy behavior, which is sort of like, for Elliot, we just thought he'd be like angelic.
Right.
But he's a pooper.
Yeah.
He's an indoor pooper.
Yeah.
He saves it for when he gets indoors.
Yeah.
He's a pee-peer, and he's a nipper. He's an ankle biter.
Exactly.
And he's like, I don't know, he has the most darling face, but you can be rubbing his belly, and he's like, you can tell he's digging it, right?
Yeah.
But then he opens his mouth, like,
well, it's so funny, because I've talked to both our vets, and I said, please tell him this is okay. Like, well, tell me what's going on. I go, well, we can be playing for a little bit, and then all of a sudden he'll want to bite everything about me.
Mm-hmm.
Everything.
And I've witnessed that, and he does.
Yes. And then
if you've got anything hanging off you or anything, he grabs it.
And I could tell him no.
Yeah.
And then I redirect,
mm-hmm.
and then finally I just come back into his crate,
yeah.
And he goes, well, you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh.
And especially when he nips like that, you know, your side boob.
Yeah, that's very painful. I mean, one time he got me, not side boob, front boob.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And literally my reaction pushed him away, and I had to really control myself because I thought for a split second, well, I could have hurt him accidentally.
You were going to knock him.
Well, because, I mean, you know, he grabbed on, it hurt.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I thought to myself, if they were fake, I might have popped one, you know? It would have been horrible. I might have had a leaker.
Have a big explosion.
Yeah.
But scare the hell out of him.
Yeah. He's like, what's that saline solution coming out? I just, like, luckily for me, you know, or not luckily,
they
kind of hang low.
Is that what they're filled with? I don't know. Saline solution.
What's the other choice?
Got me.
I thought it was saline because it used to be something else, and now it's not because now it's more natural. I don't know.
Don't know.
Not really.
Don't care. It's going to happen to me.
Exactly.
I don't have to worry about it.
Or like that Will and Grace episode with the
bra. The water bra.
Yes. That was hysterical.
It was a great one.
Yeah. So we're tonight is Super Bowl night. And
is it really?
Yes. And so we're going to have a fun night. We're talking.
Well, yeah, because we're in the Midwest and we don't care.
Because
our West Coast is
not,
playing and the East Coast is playing. And the Midwest, we don't care.
Well, I mean, people are having Super Bowl parties, but it's been dampened a little bit and because of the foot
snow.
Foot of snow, possibly more, probably 15, 16 inches.
I would say that more. I would say
and
more
not
like
a blizzard.
Inches.
It's not a blizzard. It just called it a snow event.
Mm-hmm. Not Snowmageddon?
Not Snowmageddon. It's a snow event, but there's not a lot of wind, just kept coming and coming and coming down.
And Storm and Norman's had to go outside, I guess, two or three times a day and clean the snow off the satellite dish or whatever.
Yes.
So that we can get TV again.
And look at the Weather Channel like we don't know what's going on.
And luckily we rented a movie till Thursday.
Yeah.
We had to take it back called, I don't know, Live, Die, Repeat or something like that.
could be called that?
Yeah, I think it's called that.
It's not, but it could be.
Oh, okay.
Live, die tomorrow, I don't know, something like that. But
Tom Cruise.
I've seen it before. I enjoy it. It was a good movie.
Yeah.
But I did see an excellent movie. But I'll talk about that a little bit later because
Let's talk about our guest coming
Thank you. So I want to talk about. We're gonna in about 3 or 4 minutes, we're going to put on Pat McHugh. And really, her name is a full name, Pat McHugh McCormick. I love that name.
Mm-hmm.
McHugh McCormick. And she's an author in the Unwavering Strength series. And we're going to share
Volume 2 out the end of February.
Yes. Christine Marie's in that. Yay.
And when are you going to interview me? I want to know.
We're going to pick a date. We'll confer.
All right.
And we'll get it down. I'll really
talk
to you.
Yeah, because I want to be interviewed about my story.
Yeah. No, I love that idea. And I love it. I'm all for it. It's a win. It's been approved.
Mm-hmm.
You agree to it?
Yeah. You know, I start out like it was the best of times. It was the worst of times. And I think, I don't know, but I think some other author might have used that, if you can believe it. But just kidding. Just kidding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Day one, you know.
Charles Dickens.
Exactly. No, I know that the first line of that book. It's like pretty famous.
Okay, good. You know, I'm just like stringing you on, so I'm saying, how much does she know?
I do.
Do
right,
I come
I
in and
that.
Rescue her, or do I?
No, I.
I'll let you. You know what? Swinging in the wind.
Yes. Well, you can, so that's fine. But anyway, so we're going to talk to her about her story, and I want to talk to her more, too, about her other book she wrote and about channeling, because she's a channeler. And I think that's awesome, and I want to talk to her about her. She kind of came to channeling later in life, and I want to just kind of talk about that journey a little bit. I hope she's open to that.
Mm-hmm.
And about her book, It's Your Movie. So, and that book's about her story as well, more in depth than talking about channeling and her person that she channels.
You know, I'm going to just put in a good word for our Unwavering Strength Volume 2 because we have interviewed a boatload of the authors from that book. And each one has been so generous, so open, transparent, and interesting, you know, I don't know, I've just been in awe of, you know, the unwavering strength these people have shown.
I have too.
And how they, you know, Jill, your favorite line, you make lemonade.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. And then your favorite line is you give us a, so how they always make lemonade out of lemons, and then you say,
Milk, lemonade.
Yeah.
No, I can't say it anymore. No.
But it's so true, and it makes me feel joyful.
Yeah, like there's hope for the world.
Yeah, because, and she's a follower of Esther Hicks and Abraham Hicks. I want to talk to her about that.
Oh, yeah.
Because
you have to tell her our story.
I will.
Yeah, because I think she'll appreciate this.
And this idea that, you know, where we're at now is all about, you know, we have the power to feel better, to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And our main important thing is to make sure your energy's in check, right? That you've got good energy going out to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have these losses occur. And I'll be damned if it's not the hardest thing in the world to have your energy in check.
Right. To kind of find yourself, you know, on the ground, on the floor.
Yeah.
And then slowly pick yourself up. And
yeah.
And this is where our book comes in handy, The Clutterfly Effect, Tweak Your Way to Total Transformation by Decluttering Your Life. But this idea about tweaking, you know, yeah, it would be lovely to go from despair to, you know, glory, hallelujah. But you know what? In general, we tweak our way there. We go from despair to maybe just, so-so. Maybe there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Exactly.
That's how, in general, we get there.
Exactly. Maybe our guest is on now. Pat, are you there?
Hi,
Pat. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing really well. And how are you doing?
Oh, we're doing... Well, we're cold tonight. It's a cold, wintry night here with a foot of snow that just came down.
We're in the Midwest. We're west of Chicago, so... I don't know where you're at, but we've just had about 16 to 18 inches of snow, and we're snowbound tonight. A little cray-cray.
Well, I'm in Phoenix, and I just arrived back here last night from 2 weeks in Mexico, so cold.
Oh, we feel so sorry for you.
Yes, I'm sure you do.
we're heading your way sometime soon, that's for sure. We're committed to go south sometime for the winter.
Southwest. That's right.
Now, Pat, you like to be called Pat McHugh McCormick? I know on your website you've got Pat McHugh and Pat McHugh McCormick.
Mm-hmm. It's, yeah, I'm feeling a little bit schizophrenic over that. my married name is McCormick. And but the name I came in with is Patricia McHugh. And there's something that in the last little while has just become more and more attractive to me about the name I came in with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think
I like it.
Perhaps
yeah.
I had something to do with choosing it even, and so I'm adding it back.
Hmm.
Lovely.
I love that.
Lovely, yes.
And my mom would agree on her name as well, because she's always like, you know, I love the D'Antoni name, and I kind of miss that name sometimes. And when you are married for a long time, you take on that other person's name, and you kind of miss the name that you were born with, and
mm-hmm.
and so forth. But,
mm-hmm.
Pat, I want to talk about your story that you wrote and how honest you were in your story. You wrote for Unwavering Strength. And if you're also open, I want to talk about your book, It's Your Movie, as well as your journey into being a channeler. Are you open for that a little bit tonight?
Oh, I'm totally open for that.
Awesome.
Totally.
So go ahead and share your story with us on the one you wrote for Unwavering Strength. You Are Never Alone is your title of your story. Can you tell us a little about that?
Yes. It is called You Are Never Alone, and it's taken from my book, which is called It's Your Movie, in part. And the story, You Are Never Alone, tells the story of how I had two unexpected losses in my life. The first was the loss of my career when I was in my late 50s. To some, that might not sound like a real deep loss, but I was a lifetime business career person, an accountant with an MBA, and it was a very, very important part of my life. It was who I was. It was, mm-hmm. you know, how I identified. And when my career was interrupted just without me having the choice, simply because the large resort I was managing was sold and the new owners wanted to run it themselves, I was lost.
Mm-hmm.
I was at an age where people do retire, And so I thought, well, I'll just retire. And it was good for a bit. It was a beautiful place that we lived in. I still live there in the summertime. And I played golf, but I didn't feel settled. Mm-hmm. And then in August of 2013, my husband went to work one morning, came home shortly before lunch, and which was totally unlike him. He was a very, very strong man, didn't come home from work. And he had terrible pain, and he just said, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. And so I said, okay, well, I'm going to call an ambulance. And he said, no. So I said, okay, well, then I'm going to drive you to the hospital, which was about an hour away, and I did. Mm-hmm. And within a week, he had died.
Mm, yes.
And so those two losses had me at a point one morning after the funeral and celebration of life and all of that was finished, and the kids, who were very, very good, you know, coming and helping. And after they had gone home, I was sitting in my favorite recliner one morning, and I was thinking to myself, you know, I think I just would like to go to sleep. And I wasn't thinking a nap, and I wasn't thinking a little sleep. I was thinking the kind of sleep where you don't wake up in a human body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But because mm-hmm. of the journey that I had made between the time I lost my identity as this high-powered career person and the time that my husband passed away, because that journey had taken me down a spiritual path and I had opened a channel and was connected with my higher level. Because of that, I was able to reach out and be given the strength to carry on.
Yeah.
I sat in that chair and I almost begged to the emptiness around me, you know, how can I do this? What will I do? And I heard words that helped me. I heard these words: you couldn't have predicted how it happened with your husband, and you can't predict what will happen now. Just know that it will be beautiful and you will like it. Mm. You can't see it from where you are. Just keep moving, and as you go farther, you will see farther.
Mm-hmm.
And since you like practical things, we'll give you something practical to do. Clean out your mm-hmm. cupboards. my higher levels are a lot of fun.
I love that.
And I laughed. And I thought, well, I asked for help, and this is what I got. So I got up out of that chair, and I started cleaning out the cupboards. I spent two full days doing that, and then I tackled my office, and I'm a writer, and the words had stopped, but they gradually began to come again, and I was able to carry on. And so that is what You Are Never Alone is the story of even in your darkest moments, you are never alone.
I like the part that where your guide said, just keep moving, go mm-hmm. further, and then you'll see further.
Yeah. That was one of that. My journey with my guides, which my guide, he speaks using my voice. And among the first words I heard were, call me Anthony. Mm-hmm. And so I call him Anthony. But quickly he explained to me who he really was mm-hmm. by telling me, I am you and you are me and together we are we.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that Anthony is me. He's the part of me that's not in this body, that's still in the creative realm. and the part that works with the other beings and guides that assist.
But, and that's why you call it a higher level in some sense, because you use that phrase, you said a higher level, and I go, oh, interesting, the way she's putting this.
Yeah.
And it's because you really feel that Anthony is, like you said,
you,
part of you,
yeah.
at this in this non-physical form.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. I'm getting that. When you first heard the word Anthony, call me Anthony, did it surprise you? Did it scare you? What was that feeling that first time that happened?
Oh, that was, it was one of the most awesome experiences. It's the book, it's my movie. I really didn't have any intention of writing a book. What I had an intention, I was really very, very intrigued with this notion of channeling. Is I had, you know, watched Esther Hicks channeling Abraham, and I was, you know, really engaged in that. Mm-hmm. And at some level, I saw it as some sort of specialness, you know, being chosen to give a broad message to to the world.
Yeah.
And I hate to admit it, but I was somewhat attracted to that idea.
Not you, not a type A personality.
No. You're that special.
And I was actually, I was cruising through YouTube one night, and I found this video of some other people channeling. They channeled other entities or groups, or I'm not sure exactly how they describe them now, but I was fascinated by it. But what really caught my attention was this mention of a book called Opening to Channel, that from which you could learn to open your own channel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who is that by?
It's by Sanaya Roman.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Wayne Packer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. Sanaya and
Oren Dobbin.
That's right.
Yes.
Yes. So I got that book on my Kindle that night, and I read till I was too tired, and then I ordered a recording device, and Amazon brought it to me the next day, and then I followed the process in the book, and it was unbelievable. I actually connected with Anthony. It wasn't a lovely, flowing message like you see Esther when she's channeling Abraham or these other people that I saw on YouTube, but it was actually a guide using my voice and speaking. And
Well, you know, it's interesting. I want Julie to tell this story, but when this was years ago, but we were in a course or something, and the teacher kept saying, Abraham Hicks. And I think finally at the break or something, we went out and we Googled.
Yes. Who is Abraham Hicks?
Who is Abraham Hicks?
Who is this person?
And it came up... A channeled, non-physical entity. We went,
channeled
what?
By Esther Hicks.
By Esther Hicks, yeah. And, of course, Jerry was still alive at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But you could have knocked us with us. We were like, what?
Because the first time you go, wait a minute. And then once you dive into their material.
Yeah, then you go into the material.
And it just, it hits you in a very interesting place, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Julie has seen Esther a couple of times, right, Julie?
Just once, alive,
just once?
In Chicago, yes. And it was a great day. It was a great day.
Yeah.
She just did her stuff, went into that space, and here comes Abraham talking, answering questions, talking. And it was a lovely day to spend with a huge room full of people all focused on this. And it was nice to just see everybody wanting to feel better and help the world feel better, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I always felt that's what Abraham was all about.
Yes.
Oh, yes. It definitely played a huge role in my journey. And as I was saying, I didn't really intend to write a book. I simply intended to channel.
Yeah.
And so the next day I tried it again and it worked again, and I thought, man, this is just beyond exciting.
Yes.
And then the third day, Anthony said, okay, now we want you to write this in a book.
Oh, really?
And I said, oh, this is not fun anymore.
It's work. But now you got me working.
Yeah, over time I was convinced and I did it. That also was an incredible part of my journey, actually writing the book. But what I would whine and complain and carry on about, why would I write this book and who's going to want to read it? And and I would be told, we want you to write this book so that more people are encouraged to open their channel, so that they can, you know, see the messiness and the love and how it worked with you, and know that you don't have to be a career psychic or have a near-death experience or be chosen to open your channel. Everybody's channel exists.
So is your book, is it mostly channeled material?
It's a story. It's the story of how I came to open this channel and what it was like. It does include 22 channeled sessions.
Oh, wonderful.
They're wrapped up in a bit of story about what was going on in my life at the time and how it related. And there is, it's an interesting thing. Even when I go back and read it, I get more and more out of those messages.
Oh, I bet. It's layered, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. And the messages, as Anthony's very fond of saying, there are no word symbols for this.
Because, I was going to ask you, does Anthony have a sort of a main focus that...
I would say yes. I think Anthony's main focus, now with me, it's more personal, directed to where should I go from here. But the biggest message that I hope is wrapped up in the book is that for people to accept who they really are, that they were created of and by the one true creative source of everything that was, is, and ever will be, and that they were loved into being, and their being is eternal, and they will be loved eternally.
Oh, wow. And that they are love, I'm sure.
Yes.
That's
they were
beautiful.
Created from love.
That's a wonderful message.
It's what actually keeps me going doing this, because the peace and the happiness that is available when we can see life from the perspective of our beingness rather than our humanness.
Yes.
Now, did you write the book after your husband had passed, or was this going on before?
I wrote it. I started it before, and I finished it after.
Has Anthony, How is that? Have you contacted your husband? I'm going to just say it.
Yes, I've seen him. I saw him. I saw him actually while he was in the first time. While he was in the process of passing, that may sound odd, but I know that the soul, the being, goes in and out sometimes. Before the end.
Right.
And I had taken him to... We live in a mountain resort in Canada in the Rocky Mountains, and I had taken him to the regional hospital, which is a fairly big hospital, but not a huge hospital, and 2 days later, he was taken, both of us, I went with him, by air ambulance to a major hospital in Calgary, Alberta, which is the nearest big city.
Right.
And he was in intensive care there. We have three children. My sons were with me there. We stayed at the hospital most of the time. And my daughter and her family were in Hawaii. Mm. And they were trying to get home. Mm-hmm. When we arrived there, when you look back at things, you can see people, you know, the doctors didn't have as much hope as we thought they did, but on the doctor talking to me as he was going into intensive care there, he had been sedated for the flight, and he actually never, ever came around again. But she asked me when my daughter would be home, and mm-hmm. I know now that with the heroic efforts of those doctors and nurses, the life support systems they had him on, and also with his own desire, he stayed and kept that body living until she was able to get home and see him. One night they said, the doctor said, the chief doctor said, we think you should go to your daughter's house because she lives in Calgary, but we were using her house periodically. And go and have something to eat and get a night's sleep because we had been staying in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And in the night, well, we no sooner got to bed than another doctor called from the hospital and said they wanted us back there. So we went back, and I walked into his room, and all the lights were flashing and the machines were beeping, and my son, what he hung on to was the readings from all the different machines, and he had learned to tell which were bad and which weren't, and he looked at them, and he said, "Mom, he's okay." And so we went into the family room there where we had been sleeping on couches and things, and then the chief doctor came back to the hospital, and he said, I was sitting on this sofa, he sat on the arm of the sofa, and he said, he was addressing all of us, he said, the doctor may have overreacted a bit. And so my son, the young one, said, he's okay, isn't he, because of this and this and this. So he talked with him for a while. And then the doctor looked at me, and I said to him, when we left here, he was in his body, and he's not now. And the doctor looked at me for a minute, and then my son interrupted, and then the doctor looked back at me, and I said, he isn't, is he? And he said, no, you're very, very connected with him. Because I had seen him when we were at my daughter's house. I had seen him in another realm, and he was happy, and he was younger, and he was happy, and he was headed toward what looked, you know, I had the impression of like a hallway or something, and then he was called back and reminded he still had to deal with his body.
Oh.
So, I knew, and I have since seen him. He's around, yes.
Yes, and that must, I mean, from an outsider's perspective, it looks how one, you know, blessed this journey was for you, because like you said in your story, it made this transitional time a little more bearable.
Yes, because I knew
your partner.
Yes, because I knew he was, you know, he didn't just cease to exist, and he was in a happy place. Pardon me. So I couldn't, you know, I could see that and know that for him. So then I had only to deal with my own sense of loss.
Yes.
I mean, even now, just talking to you, you know, I just, you know, feel his spirit and, you know, the connection. And, you know, you're right. It's multi-leveled, isn't it? Multi-layered. And
yeah,
I keep getting the word Frank around you. Is that anything?
No.
No?
No, other than I am Frank.
You'll take that. You know, no. Not to change the subject at all, but one of my best vacations was going to Alberta and the Canadian Rockies and going to Calgary and then taking a trip to the Canadian Rockies and visiting Lake Louise and Chateau Louise. I think Chateau Louise, but it's not staying there, but that whole area just felt magical to a girl from the Midwest.
Yes, it is a gorgeous place. I know, even driving through from Calgary to where we live, it's called Fairmont Hot Springs. It's on the other side of the Rocky Mountains. And driving through there, you can feel, you can just feel the beauty of creation. Now it just occurred to me, when you said you keep the doctor's name was Frank.
Okay, there you go. There you go. I just kept getting it, and we needed to acknowledge that.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
But that is a beautiful, beautiful area. And you're right, it's magical, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just spend your summers up there and your winters down in Arizona and Mexico. That's
it's pretty much
the best of all worlds.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now.
It's a tough gig, but.
Yeah, it can be that. You know, the only thing I missed is that our tour, it was like a kind of like a van tour, and she just said, you know, we're just about a little too late for bear season. A lot of times you can see bears eating, you know, black bears or brown bears eating out near the road. And I'm like, that would have been awesome, but it wasn't meant to be.
There comes a time when you've seen enough bears if you live there. When they're roaming through your yard.
Oh, my gosh. That's kind of how we feel about deer down here.
Yeah.
They're everywhere.
Except that the deer won't kill you.
No.
No. Well, and mostly the bears won't either.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good. So, you know, Pat, what would you say to a person who is thinking about channeling, but maybe be a little too afraid, maybe high expectations, or sometimes I can just the word channeling itself can put some people off a little bit.
Yeah.
How would you get them going in that direction?
Well, it may sound self-serving, but I would suggest that they buy my book.
No, it's not. There it is.
There you go.
And you can, and let's just keep going with that. You can go right to her website and buy it right there.
Yes. I'm serious about that because that's the reason for the book.
Right.
And at the end of it, there is a little exercise that you know helps people. Mm-hmm. To if they wanted to open their own channel. But Anthony also then encouraged me to do more than that, saying, you know, the purpose of the book was to encourage them, but you aren't meant to stop at encouraging, you're meant to assist.
Mm.
And so I also wrote there's a digital companion that goes with the book after people read it. And it goes further into it and has 9 exercises and guided meditations or guided intentions or visualizations, depending on the day, to help people to get closer to where they would be comfortable enough. Because Anthony says the only thing that can stop people from opening their own channel is fear.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
And
sure.
The way to overcome that fear is to accept who you really are. You're a sovereign being. And you do not, one of his favorite lines is, you do not need outside approval. You came in pre-approved.
I love that.
Oh, my
God. Well, I want to thank Anthony for that one because that's awesome.
You are pre-approved.
You are pre-approved.
Absolutely.
That is awesome.
When he wove that into many of his messages was that you don't need outside approval.
Mm-hmm.
And there is nothing and no one high enough in this plane to judge you.
Mm. Yes. Yes. And you can go to Pat's website at patmchugh.com and also patmchughmccormick.com. But McHugh is M-C-H-U-G-H. So patmchugh.com, and that takes you right there to the book about her wonderful story, her blog as well.
Yes, yes. And I love the McHugh. I love that.
And the wonderful thing about her website that I like is she's got this little butterfly floating around different pictures. I'm like, hey, it's there again. Where did it come from? That butterfly's there. I love that. That's so sweet. It made me laugh. It made me, it's like, I love butterflies. That felt so great. And,
yeah.
You know, I also want to say, like, I love this idea in your story when you said, you know, you just said, I'm supposed to clean some cupboards right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with Abraham Hicks, mm-hmm. Clearing the Clutter, and with our book, The Clutterfly Effect, sometimes when there's nothing else to do or you just can't figure what the next step is,
mm-hmm.
Clearing some space.
You bet.
Is the
absolutely.
Best thing. Or resting, too. Those mm-hmm. two things are great.
But girls like us, you know, we love to just get our hands on a bunch of catalogs to pitch or some old magazines
yeah.
or go through the couple
cupboards.
Of junk drawers. Oh, yeah. I mean, you feel much better, don't you?
Yeah, Anthony has a descriptor for that for me.
Uh-huh.
He likes to use, well, this is one of the most beautiful things about opening your own channel is your higher levels know you. They can communicate with you in the best way that you can understand. So
uh-huh.
he will use analogies and words that mean something to me. One of them he uses is relates to computers. You know, he says when you allow your mind to your head to get in the way, he would say to me, "Get your head out of the way."
Oh,
and
good.
Your
good.
Things. Then it's just looping.
Mm-hmm.
Like a computer program that will begin to loop, and then the only thing that you can do to stop that before it crashes completely is you can do a physical reboot. So that, for me, telling me to clean out the cupboards or do that kind of thing is a physical reboot.
You bet.
Or go for a walk, or in a lot. I know a number of people for whom running is meditative, or
mm-hmm.
You know, exercise is the way they meditate.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember Dr. Wayne Dyer used to talk about his running was a form of meditation
yes.
before
mm-hmm.
his knees started hurting too much,
yeah.
And so forth. But
mm-hmm.
you're right, and it's just a way of getting into that space.
Mm-hmm. And isn't it lovely to know that your higher power, how you call it, your higher levels. So understand, you know, because we get, you know, it's easy to get further away from it, you know, facing the day-to-day stuff, but that we are love, that we
yeah.
were born, you know, of love, and just to hold that dear, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that we are so much more, and I that you had this courage to tap into your unwavering strength all through, you know, the losses. And really, it's interesting because loss of identity, like of who you were as a business person, an MBA, mm-hmm. and who you were as a wife. And you know, and now your identity is, it's even bigger. And you have access to more wisdom and knowledge.
Yeah, I have we all do. We have a channel to the source of all knowledge.
Yes.
And we have access to it, each
yes.
of us. But the title of, I don't know why, but this keeps going around in my head, so if we have a minute, I would like to to tell you why the why my book is titled It's Your Movie?
Yes, please do. Yes, exactly.
Is because that's another analogy that Anthony used with me. And he would say, it's your movie, you're the writer, you're the star, and you are the sole member of the audience. He would tell me to stay in my own theater and watch my own movie. Because if I got up and went into the theater of my children or someone else, I might see myself in their movie, but I wouldn't recognize myself.
That is pretty awesome.
I didn't want to be trying to rewrite their scripts, nor did I want to hand over the pen for mine.
Right. Right.
And what an interesting phrase, soul audience. I mean,
it's
you know, what a play on words.
You know, that's very, very comforting for me to know.
Yes.
Nobody sees me the way I see me. I'm the only one in my movie. You know, I'm the only one watching the movie I'm watching. And I don't have
to please
critics or anybody else. It's me.
And if you're like me, like in my movie theater, it's like in the old days, they had these big velvet curtains and ornate chandeliers, and I don't know, it was pretty spectacular.
That's wonderful. It's amazing. Pat, I want to say thank you so much for being on Life with a Girlfriend tonight. I was going to say, this cold night in the Midwest, and I'm sure a beautiful night in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for sharing your story.
Yes.
Being a part of the Unwavering Strengths series that's coming out at the end of February. And anything you'd like to say? Oh, I want to ask you one question. If our audience goes to your website, I mean, do you any kind of coaching or helping people open their channels on one-on-one? Or
I have done some selective coaching to this point, and not people I selected, but people who were selected for me and were sort of placed in my path. And and I have been given access to their higher levels when they can't hear them and have helped in that way. And I'm thrilled to know that I have been able to be an instrument that has really helped a number of people. Now we're working on ways that this can happen with more people. It's a funny thing, because our message is that you don't need teachers and gurus, because you just need to connect with your own channel. That's where your own truth is.
Yes.
And yet at the same time, some people need assistance.
Mm-hmm.
So how to make that happen without gathering a following or being a leader is what I'm working on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And
I can see that, and I agree. And because also, too, there is, you know, when two or more are gathered, you know, that there's an expansion information and wisdom. So I can see it enhancing the experience.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm really dedicated to finding a way to make that work.
Good.
Yeah. And I want to thank you for the opportunity to be able to talk about it, because as you say, you know, where two or more are gathered. And so when I have an opportunity to talk with very supportive, gifted people like you, it helps me.
Great. Oh, absolutely. Same here. Absolutely.
And anytime you want to come back, we welcome you with open arms.
Yes.
It's been a lovely, lovely conversation tonight, and so informative. And I just feel my heart and soul expanding tonight. So,
wonderful. Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Pat. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you, Pat. We've truly enjoyed it, and to hear
I
your message
well.
And to be in contact with Anthony is so, I don't know, just sweet, just very sweet, and to feel that love.
Well, thank you.
All right, have a good night. And you can get her book. I want you to go out and get her book, everyone.
Yes, it's your movie.
Go to her website, patmchugh.com, or patmchugh-mccormick, but patmchugh.com will take you there, too, and McHugh is M-C-H-U-G-H.
Right.
Hopefully I spelled
that
right. Yes,
right.
I did. Great. Okay, thank you, Pat. Have a wonderful night.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Awesome, awesome interview.
Mm-hmm.
I know we kept her on longer than I told her, but she's
That was nice of her. She's so generous.
Yes,
very
generous. I love it when we have generous people who are being interviewed on Life of the
Well,
Girlfriend.
Yeah, like I told you, you know, I mean, we've had just these authors are just brilliant and generous.
And I'll tell you what, what did Anthony say to her that you,
the farther?
No, about you're not expired. No, it's like.
Oh, pre-approved.
You're pre-approved.
Yes.
That's it. You are pre-approved.
kind of like a credit card.
I know. I'm writing that down. I don't want to forget that.
Yes.
Because sometimes we come into this world with so much guilt and shame. Not by any other reason than it's just there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we were pre-approved, you know, we're pre-approved, everybody. We don't have to feel this. Feel bad about who we are.
Mm-mm.
And it's about knowing yourself.
And being brave enough, like, you know, the unwavering strength, being brave and strong enough to say, you know, to face that loneliness and then to dig deep inside and find the connection to spirit.
Well, isn't that
powerful? Then listen.
Yeah, and then listen.
How many people drown out the wisdom or the information with hours of TV, you know,
alcohol.
Games, alcohol. Yeah, Jilly, I know.
I don't mean it's my choice of drowning, but, you know, I think I had a beer and I had...
You did have a beer.
And I had to beg for it because everybody knows the truth, which is I only drink half a beer.
Mm-hmm.
And I got half a beer down. I was pretty impressed with myself.
But see, nobody wants to give you a beer because they know you'll leave half of it.
I know. It's not intentional. I mean, I really try and get the other half down, but by the time I get to it,
you're too giggly and all hot and flustered.
And also the beer gets a little warm.
You know what? See, that's why in our new house, I want to have like a kegerator.
So I can just pour like 4 ounces.
Is that too frat-like? Because, I mean, I understand, you know, as a girl at my age must have wine cooler, right?
Right.
Have the wine fridge.
Right.
But, you know, I just want a spout in the countertop with a nice little keg underneath the...
Not wrong with
and
that.
And I want ice cold, you know, with a head on it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There you go. I like that, too. Well, I have no idea what the score is for the football game. I don't care either.
I don't care. We don't care.
Yes. I mean, because the Bears aren't there. But you know what? The Bears are coming back stronger than ever, everybody.
Oh, you know what?
Next year.
Yawn. The Bears.
They're coming back stronger than ever. I promise. New coaches. You know, they got the same quarterback. I'm going to pick him again next year if I can for my fantasy football. I picked him this year, and he did not serve me well. But so I'm hoping next year he'll serve me well.
What's his name, baby? What's his name? Come on.
I can't think of his name right now.
Oh, okay. All right.
I can't think of I can't believe it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, that's just crazy.
It's crazy. I can pick up the name Frank.
Yeah.
the doctor.
Let me see if I still have him on my fantasy football team league in Yahoo. I can go and think.
Jill.
Yeah, I know. Come on.
Don't do that.
Yeah. 1 minute left. I got on my phone. I know I got on my phone.
Put your phone down and look up your fantasy football league.
I'm going to do it.
Yeah. You know what? We're a little squirrely because of the weather. We've been hibernating for 48 hours.
Yeah, and as we have just 1 minute left, I do want to say that I saw an awesome movie last night. I saw The Imitator. My favorite actor at the moment, because I love his name, Benedict Cumberbatch, was the lead in it.
Yes.
Keira Knightley was in it as well.
Mm.
And I can't say enough about this. I saw the movie, it's A Boy's Life, I think it was, where it took place over 12 years. I'm going to try and see all the Academy Award nominees. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm going to make it or not.
You know, every year you try.
I get like three or four.
In the last 10, you've only maybe done it twice.
Well, and that was only because they had five, and then they upped it to like 9 movies.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to go see.
And come on. Yeah. And they all just come out at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to say...
But I do want to say, you know, I want to give a shout-out to Benedict Cumberbatch, because if he ever listens to Life with a Girlfriend...
Yeah.
He's invited on.
If by chance you're cruising on BBS Radio, we're here for you. We're here for you. You know, and it's so funny because I've had to figure out how to memorize his name, mm-hmm. and I put it in my mind palace.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, you know...
We see a picture of Eggs Benedict.
Yeah.
And then we see those Eggs Benedict around a guy with a tuxedo and a cummerbund.
And he's carrying a batch of cookies.
And a batch of chocolate chip cookies.
Yes, how do you know? That's how I see it.
That's exactly how I remember
it. Oh, well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Hey.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
There you go. Well, everyone, thank you for listening to Life with the Girlfriends tonight.
Do you think it was kind of great?
I think it was great.
It was great.